Mountain Gap Church welcomes you to join us as we share this kingdom message of hope, featuring our pastor, Rick Womack.
But God is doing something wonderful. He is building His church. Hallelujah. And we were able to plant 30 churches in this 14 years time in Bangladesh. In that predominantly Muslim nation, 87% Muslims, 11% Hindus, Christians are less than 1%. But we planted 30 churches for the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Pastor Vijay Bala.
What an awesome privilege it is to stand before you, worship the living God. It's a beautiful music and beautiful worship. Every song I enjoyed. And the way we all sang together from the hearts, that was a blessing. And if people worship the living God in that fashion, if the name of the Lord Jesus is lifted high in that fashion, and if we give place to Jesus in that way, we will not have any problem. We will not have any problem. Hallelujah. Anyway, we want to show the video as quick as possible because we don't want to hold the children for very long. And later on, even if we stay up to 2 o'clock in the afternoon, no problem. What an awesome privilege it is for both of us to be a part of this family, and we feel connected, Pastor Rick, Patrice, even more with your kind introduction and the way you were talking. It's not you talking from your mouth, but from your heart. So we felt that stronger connection than what we started in 2010. And it is going to be more and more strong because we want to do something great and wonderful. And the first song that you sang and led in the worship, you know, it was talking about all the unstoppable things. We are not going to stop until the Lord Jesus comes back. Until every last soul hears the gospel, we will not stop. So, we want to see the glory on and on and on. And impossible things in His name are going to become possible. Hallelujah. If you could sing this song at the end of our presentation, we appreciate it. So, I'm asking the worship team to get ready to sing this song once again, so that every one of us believe that we are going to accomplish impossibilities. Anyway, this video that we are going to show is My Life, which our daughter produced when she went to Emmanuel for her senior project. She has produced this video on our life, on my life. She, Appa, and our son, they all kept it as a surprise for me. They kept it as a secret while she was taking the videos and all that. 1 week before her graduation in 2014, I was sitting in her class when she was presenting her senior project, and there she announced, "This video is on the life of my dad." So the nutshell or the summary of this story is, I was a failure and very dull-headed student when I was in my primary school and high school. I failed 2 times in my 7th grade. So I did 3 years of my 7th grade, you know, 3 years, like you do your honors or your bachelor's. That was the kind of brain I was having. I was ashamed when I failed 2 times and all my classmates were going higher and higher. So it was at that time I realized I am not right with the Lord. In fact, I was baptized and I gave my life to the Lord when I was 8 or 9 years old. But I did not know much in my childish understanding. So I did not really follow the Lord wholeheartedly, even though I was baptized at the age of maybe 8, 9, something like that. But at the age of 17, when I failed 2 times, I gave my heart truly to Jesus. I invited him into my life and I asked, Lord, give me and bless me even in my education. I was failing. So the Lord came, forgave my sins, transformed my life, and he touched my brain also. So I have done my master's and doctorate. I was the gold medalist in my master's. And I got the scholarship of Indian government to do my doctorate. Soon after finishing my doctorate, I got a research scientist job with the Indian government. See, from nothing, God has taken me to the highest possible level. So we were enjoying our life as a research scientist. And then the Lord said, Vijay, I want you to give all that what I gave you back to me. I said, oh, it's something strange God is asking me. So I will explain it further. But we did obey. We gave our education, our jobs with the Indian government. She did her master's in English literature. She was teaching. So we both resigned our government jobs because he gave us a vision of planting churches and training the church planters and church leaders.
You already have got
in India something, little bit about our story. How God inspired us to resign everything and come into the full-time ministry. When I shared that vision with Appa, I'm glad that she did not say, I married you as a research scientist. If you want to resign from your government job, I am going to resign from your life. She did not say that. Therefore, we are here together, still doing that vision what God has given us. So let Aparanjani introduce our family before we share further about our ministry.
I bring greetings to from our family. As you see on the slide, God has blessed us with a son and daughter. As Rick was already mentioning, that Rosalind has become part of their family. So we are glad to come back to see our family here. And Andrew and Rosalind, they both are graduated. As you heard, Rosalind graduated from Emmanuel College. And right now, she is in Spain doing the missions work with our missionaries, Nancy and Lynn Berry, if you know them. God has called her to use her media skills, the skills that you just saw, to use them along with the missions, media with missions. That's the call that she got. And we're very happy to see that our daughter following our footsteps, going as a missionary. So she's in Spain right now. It's been 3 weeks. She's just adjusting, trying to learn the language and be there. So we are proud of her and we are thankful to God. And our son, he graduated from Oral Roberts University. And if you see the next slide, God brought a new blessing in our family that he's married 6 months ago. He married a girl from Texas, but he met her in Bangladesh when she is doing missions. So that is the greatest joy that we have, that Leslie also loves missions. So they both are married and they are in Minnesota right now, again involved in the work of God. So for us as parents, it's a great joy and blessing to see our children trusting God and walking in his ways. And we are very happy for that.
And you might have noticed the title we gave to our family, a mini heaven. We say that because what all is there in heaven, the presence of God, joy, happiness, what all is there in heaven is in our family. So we call it as a mini heaven. And I see that kind of mini heaven, you know, in your family. Even in 2010, when Josh, at the age of 16 or 15, you know, he was worshipping and Alisa is involved, you know, in all of that. So as a family, serving the Lord is a real blessing. And of course, if some families do not have that blessing, we can still pray. We have learned that when you cannot talk to your children, talk to God. So if there are some families who do not have this privilege, you can still pray. God can do miracles. So we praise God for that. And I am the fruit of the World Missions Ministries of the International Pentecostal Holiness Church. The year I was born, this couple, Howard and Margaret Howard, they came to my village and they introduced the IPHC, and my parents were the first ones to join hands with the IPHC missionaries. And they were the pioneers of the IPHC in South India. And because my parents were actively involved in the ministry, these missionaries introduced us to the people-to-people program for our education. So we are so blessed. And then, these are the four missionaries lived in my village for more than 20, 25 years. Louis Smith from Chocovinity, North Carolina, Francis Carter from Virginia, and Mr. and Mrs. Donald from England. I could not show the picture of Mr. Donald because he died way back, but before the death of these three great women, I met them personally and took these photographs who impacted my life. So I am the fruit of the International Pentecostal Holiness Church. So you will be proud to see what your missions giving is doing on the other side of the world. And these three inspirations made as missionaries today: Jesus leaving his heavenly throne, coming into this world as a first missionary, leaving his heavenly culture, coming into this sinful culture to die for us, inspired the US and UK missionaries to come to India and touch our lives. That made us today to leave our country, India, and to go to Bangladesh, which is predominantly a Muslim country, and also working around these surrounding countries for the great kingdom of God. As Pastor Rick was introducing and telling, the Lord gave us a dream and vision in 1989 while we were with the government jobs. The vision and dream was India and it's all six countries around it: Nepal, Bhutan, Myanmar, Sri Lanka, Bangladesh and Pakistan. All the six countries around India, planting churches and equipping leaders and church planters and pastors in all these six countries, and to establish a training facility to equip these pastors. So that was the vision in 1989. And today, we are the regional coordinators for all these five countries around India through the IPHC. And we see the partial fulfillment of that dream which God has given us. So the Ballas faith journey, when we received that call, is that we first resigned our government jobs and worked in India, our own country, for 8 years. I was the director of a Bible school and she was working as a teacher in the church school. And then in 2002, the Lord directed us to go to Bangladesh as missionaries through the International Pentecostal Holiness Church. Let me talk a little bit about Bangladesh, where we are staying now. There are 170 million people in that small country. The size of the country is something like your Wisconsin state, but there are 170 million people living in that small place. You see the people sitting on the train, traveling by bus on the top. If you see people walking on the roads, thousands and thousands of people, and sometimes millions of people, you will see such sights. They have funny festivals. They have Ramadan, where they fast 30 days. They don't even drink water during the daytime. They want to gain the favor of God. That's one festival. During that, they call it as a holy month of 30 days. But most unholy things happen, unfortunately, during that time. Because it's not true fast what they are doing it. Not to the true God. And another festival they have, they sacrifice a cow in front of their house once a year. They call it as a sacrifice cow festival. So during that time, you see the cow markets all over like that. And you know, during that day, blood everywhere, because in front of every house, they sacrifice a cow. And the life in Bangladesh is very hard because there is poverty. People are poor of the poorest. They live in slums, in small, 10 by 10 huts, 10 feet by 10 feet huts. 8 children or 6 children sleep together in that small house. They make $2 a day on an average. Life is very hard. At the same time, there are rich multi-millionaires on the next road. High sky buildings, multi-millionaires. So there is a lot of disparity in the lives of people. Only 10% of these people are rich. The remaining 90 are very poor. So that is the kind. And the life is disrupted by the floods. As you are seeing floods in the US, every year we have these floods in Bangladesh. Some part or the other is under water, which affects. Sometimes when I visit our churches in the rural areas, straight I go by boat and jump into the house of the pastor. Instead of going by car, we go by boat and then just jump onto their house. That is the kind of disruption these natural calamities bring. These are all negative things I am talking about. But God is doing something wonderful. He is building His church. Hallelujah. And we were able to plant 30 churches in this 14 years time in Bangladesh. In that predominantly Muslim nation, 87% Muslims. 11% Hindus, Christians are less than 1%. But we planted 30 churches for the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. And we have got this beautiful building which was donated by, primarily by one family in North Carolina, Moses King, if you have heard his name. He has given huge donations to buy the property, the land, and to construct this building. What will we do in this building? We have the training facility where we train the pastors and church planters. And in the month of February, we have conducted a Great Commission conference where 150 pastors attended. As a result of this training, we have 50 baptisms this year and 8 new church plants have been planted. So house churches have been planted. So God is giving us this building to use it for His glory. And in that building, we also have a school which we named Holiness Academy. Appa is the principal for that school, and I will let her talk something about the school, how it is impacting the community with the love of Christ.
We have about 100 children attending this school, Holiness Academy. And this is in a community where all are Muslims and Hindus. We have just one Christian family and the rest are all from Hindu and Muslim families. But they're very happy to come to a Christian school because they get good education. And that is giving us opportunities to reach out to them with the love of Jesus. In the Muslim context, if you invite them to church, no one would come. But here they are in the school and the kids are hearing about Jesus, learning the songs, learning the Bible verses, and we are having great opportunity to reach out to them through the school, and we are so grateful to God. And our motto, you see, discipline and dignity, that's what we are teaching our children, and we thank God for that opportunity. And then, when the children come, the moms also come into the school because they bring them, sometimes they wait for their children to finish their school and take. And those are the times we get opportunities to sit with these Muslim women, talk to them about the love of Jesus. The Islam religion, women are bound by their religion. There is no freedom. But when we talk about the freedom that Jesus brings, their hearts are excited, they are happy, and they share their problems and they ask us to pray. So God is giving us great means to reach out to this Muslim community through the school, and we are grateful to God. And we have a Francis Carter boarding, a hostel also in the same building. We have about 25 children staying with us, attending the school, and they're all supported by people to people. So we thank God for that ministry, people to people. And last year and this year, we had 5 high school graduates who graduated from our school. We are so happy because getting a high school education is not very common. It's a rare thing, but thank God for the school that They were able to get the education. Now they are in their colleges. But while they were with us, they heard about Jesus. They are saved. They were baptized. And now they have gone out to tell about the love of Jesus wherever they are. So we are thankful to God for the school as a means of reaching out to the community.
If you invite somebody from the Muslim communities to the church, no one will come. But through the school, we have the opportunity to bring them and then share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. These children sing Christian songs, learn Bible stories, they enact Bible dramas, and the parents come and watch them playing Jesus dramas. So this is how we are putting the seeds in the minds of these people in the community. And another activity, from the US, the teams come, even from Georgia Life Point Conference, the teams come, medical teams. When the teams come, we have 400 to 500 patients coming to wait, receiving the medicines. See the people waiting outside to receive the medicines. So while they are there, we talk to them, introduce the divine healer by giving the medicines. And last year, we had one exciting thing. There was a team from Appalachia Conference and Life Point Conference together. And one pastor from West Virginia, Beckley, West Virginia, Pastor Paul Chapman, he said, I want to pray for every patient. See, 300, 400 are 400 or 500 people, so he wants to pray for everyone. We said, okay, let us try. We announced in the beginning of the medical clinic, we were given an opportunity to introduce ourselves, what we are doing and why we are doing. We had an opportunity to share the gospel for 20 minutes. All these Muslim factory workers, it was in a textile factory, garment factory. Our friend is owning this textile factory. So 500 to 600 employees who are all Muslims heard the gospel for 20 minutes when we were introducing. And then we said, after you take your medicines, there is a priest, they call Imam, Muslim priest. There is an Imam, Christian Imam, sitting there. He wants to pray for your sickness. If you want, you can be going to him. We were not very sure how many would go, but more than 85 to 90% people went for prayer. And he prayed for every individual, and he prayed for the sickness, and the ministry has gone there. While this is all going, one true Imam from a nearby mosque, he came to take medicines, and he saw what these American doctors and nurses are doing. He was telling to his colleagues, look at them, what they are doing. Look at us, what we do. What they are doing is the true religion. A Muslim priest from the mosque confessing that what we are doing in the name of Jesus is the true religion. So he was hugging us and thanking us. Thank you for blessing our community. So that is the kind of impact we were able to make through these activities. And one more program we introduced at the school. It is EFFCT. Friday is our national holiday, like Sunday for you. So we introduced this program. Every Friday, free cup of tea. So they come in a non-threatening way, so that, you know, we talk to them and they share their problems. They invite us to their homes. They ask us to pray when someone is sick. So through this program, we are able to reach and make friendship. So these are some of the strategies God is really giving us. And as I said, this is the dream God gave us, India and its neighboring countries. So today, I shared only a little bit about Bangladesh. I don't have time. If you want to really see, I invite you to come to our field and see in Nepal, Bhutan, Sri Lanka, Myanmar, in all those 5 countries, what God is doing. And in Nepal, we planted one church in 2006, first church. We pioneered it. There was nothing before we did that. And until 2013, there were 5-6 churches. But when the earthquake hit Nepal 2 years back, 90 churches the number has grown to 90 churches after earthquake in Nepal. So we have today 90 churches in Nepal. And in Myanmar, we did not pioneer, but we have a strong church. More than 140 churches are there today. And Bhutan is another country which is very much closed. If someone sees you preaching, they will put us in jail. And in that country, we have been making an effort to plant one church since 8 years. But today, this year, the Lord gave us an opportunity to plant one church in 2016. So the Lord is doing great, and in all these places. So among all these countries that we work, there are Muslims, Hindus, and Buddhists. So we fight with all three major religions of the world. We need your prayers as we go into the front lines of the enemy. So as Pastor Rick was telling, the Lord gave us a bigger dream. Hallelujah. God always gives bigger dreams when we fulfill it. And this man was telling that he is praying for India and Bangladesh. So I was so glad to hear that, the Lord burdened him to pray for India and Bangladesh and those countries. He said he prays seeing a map. So because of the prayers of godly people, we are strengthened. And when God gives dreams, we are able to accomplish. So I want you to listen carefully these big dreams the Lord has given us. We want to plant, or others planting, we want to see IPHC in every country of Asia. Amen. When you said amen, please continue to pray until we plant at least one church in every country of Asia. This is a bigger dream the Lord gave us this year during this itineration period of 3 months. And the second dream is to see the church planting movements. Like when we plant one church, we want to see that church planting another church and two churches planting four, multiplying. Otherwise, we cannot reach these millions of people in these Asian countries. So we want to see, that is our dream, to see the multiplication and the church planting movement. And the third dream is to equip and empower the young people, the next generational leaders like this. Our generation is almost over. We are towards the end of the earthly life. But we want to empower, encourage, motivate the youngsters like Josh and all the youth, you know, in our zone as well as around the world. So in all the other continents, the Lord is giving us dream to go and impact the young people for the future ministry. So that is the third dream. And the last dream is to impact people with the love and message of Christ around the world. Then I was praying, maybe thousands of people. The Holy Spirit was telling me, not thousands. Then millions of people? No. The Lord gave me that word, billions of people. So you believe the dream, what God gives us? And let us stand and accomplish these things. Because that's what he's doing. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So only we have to share, tell Jesus what he has done. And when people meaningfully hear, when they call, "Jesus, save me," they are saved. So it is possible. All the impossibilities are possible. That we can touch billions together. It's not just Vijay, Appa. We all together. That is a dream that when God brings, you know, collectively, we can do this together. So, I want to give you a call which Pastor Rick has already given. Is God prompting you personally to be a part of this big dream for His glory and for the salvation of billions of people around the world? If you feel that prompting in your heart, pray, respond, and participate. So this is the call which Pastor has given all of you. I'm so grateful to you that you have already done what the Lord has laid upon our hearts. So that is the unity of the Spirit to do things together. Anyway, my time is almost up, but I want to share the word for another 10 minutes or so to motivate and to strengthen and to give you boost from the word of God. Because in the context of the Great Commission, where we go, God has already given the promises. You are talking about the promises when you were reading. All that you led in the worship was like a way you were preparing for the message the Lord gave me. So, the Lord has given us promises already as we obey to fulfill His Great Commission. So, I want to talk about the four promises of God quickly. Number one promise God has given is His protection. More than anything, what we need is the protection of God. Because in Bangladesh, what happened in July, the IS people took hostage of 30 people and killed 20 people one night on July 1 of this year. You might have read that story. So what is happening all around the world? The enemy is attacking. But God has promised His protection. Hallelujah. See, we were breaking this building. We wanted to put the cross on the top. We were taken away with fear. Should we put the cross or not? Because if we keep the cross, it may attract the attention of the fundamental Muslims or the IS people. If you don't put the cross, it may be like an ordinary building. So we were debating whether we should or not put or not, or praying. But finally, the Lord prompted us to keep the cross. Because we believe we are there for the cross of Jesus. I learned that missions is not crossing the seas, but seeing the cross. So we want to see the cross in all these lands, in all these countries where Jesus is highly lifted up. But we need protection. So God has already promised His protection. In Matthew 10:28-30, if you see the beautiful passage, do not be afraid of those who kill your body but cannot do anything afterwards. But fear to whom who can destroy even after the body is dead, you know. In that context He was telling, and the very hair of your head are all numbered. Hallelujah. God knows how much hair I have today. Although I'm losing every day my hair, God keeps an account of my hair. That means that much detail God knows. And God has kept His protection around me. In 2 Kings, if you see the story of Elisha, the enemy surrounded the whole camp and his servant was very much afraid and said, "Oh master, all the people are around us. What shall we do?" Elisha was so cool. He knew the protection God has. So what he said, you know, "Hey, don't worry. Those who are with us are more than with those people outside." And then when he prayed, "Lord, open the eyes of this man," God opened the eyes. He could see the chariots of fire all around Elisha. Hallelujah. Do you believe that kind of protection God has promised to us today? If you are going through some fear, any kind of attack, claim this promise. God has given His protection for all of us. You have 911, the emergency number. We have heavenly 911, Psalm 91:1. "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High are under the shadow of His wings." When you are in the hand of God, that is the greatest protection. Nowhere in the world you have safety and protection. In France, in Turkey, in US, what is happening? Not only in Bangladesh, not only for those who go to preach the gospel. There is no safety all around the world. But the safest place is in the hands of God. He who abides in the hand of the Most High, he abides in His almighty wings. So even 1,000 fall on your side and 10,000 on the left, no harm will come. So that is the kind of protection God has promised. Hallelujah. Let us not be afraid of going and declaring the name of Jesus in the hostile world. In the negative world, when people mock at us, when people ridicule us, when people do not accept us, let us stand for the cross, for the name of Jesus, because He has already promised His protection for us. God has already promised His provision. God will not send us to a place where He cannot provide. He always provides. If you see the story of Elijah in 1 Kings, there was famine all over the land of Israel. But God said, you go and sit near the brook. I have directed the ravens to supply you with food. All around was famine, but God is providing to His prophet. After some time, the brook dried up. And then the Lord said, you get up and go to the village of Sarephath. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. Even before he goes, he has already made provision through a widow who would supply for all 3.5 years. Even before a problem comes, God prepares the solution. This is our God. This is the, this is on whom we take our stand. But I want you to remember one simple truth. God's provision is progressive. He may not give you what all you need for your entire life. Or maybe to entire year, you know. He led him to the ravine, to the brook. He was sitting there eating what the crows were bringing. That was for a season. And then he had another provision. If Elijah wants to know from God, Lord, what you are going to do for all these 3.5 years, God would not show that. As we obey the first steps and go, God's provision follows. We have learned in our ministry, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. Some people do not know the secret. They see money, they see provision, they see all of that, they run after that, they will never be able to catch. But if you run after the righteousness of God and the kingdom of God, they run behind you. This is what the promise of God. God has promised His provision, and His provision is progressive. To see this building, I cannot tell all the details because I am not having much time. How God provided thousands and thousands of dollars, you know, to buy a small piece of land. The land is only 1/4 of an acre, which costed $60,000 5 years back. $60,000 US. But the Lord provided. And to make this building, probably $200,000 US. The Lord provided. And we are planning to buy a small piece of land in front of our school. And now, the same amount, the same piece of land, 1/4 of an acre, is costing, you will be blown up with the hearing, $170,000 US for that small piece of land in front of our building, that green part, 1/4 of an acre, $170,000 US. But God is the provider.
Yes, He is.
Last month, the Lord provided $100,000 US for this project. And He has to provide another $70,000, or He has to help those people to reduce the price. Whatever it is. But we have $100,000 already to buy this plot, so where we can expand our school and then do other activities. So God's provision is promised to us. And the third promise is, God has promised His peace. So when we go do His job, we have perfect peace. God has promised. In John 14:27, Jesus said, I leave my peace to you, not as the world gives. The worldly peace is, we are at peace when everything is with us. But He said, I am not giving you as the world gives. When the doctor tells that you have a cancer, you can still be at peace. This is the peace of God. Humanly speaking, it's not possible. When you lose your job, when you lose your dear ones, When such calamities happen, how can we be at peace? But Jesus is promising, I give my peace. Paul was explaining this. This peace passes all our understanding. We cannot understand. There are beautiful examples in the Bible. When Paul and Silas were keep in jail, can anybody be at peace when they are thrown into jail? But they were singing songs, worshiping the Lord. That is the kind of peace God gives all of us. If you lack peace today, for any circumstances, for any reason, I encourage you, claim this peace of God. It is for you, for all of us. God's peace is already promised. Another beautiful example, when there was storm, Jesus was sleeping. Probably when this hurricane is hitting, you know, I don't think people are sleeping peacefully there. But in the midst of storm, Jesus was sleeping. He knew because he has authority, power over the natural calamities. Friends, we can be at peace when we enjoy the peace of God. And he promised that already. I leave my peace to you, not as the world gives. And finally, God has promised his presence with us. More than protection, provision, peace, what we need is the presence of God. In his presence, there is everything. But he has already promised his presence to us. Where he said in Matthew 28:2, where two or three gather together in my name, I am there in your midst. He has promised his presence. And in Acts also, in Matthew, when he was sending them to fulfill the Great Commission, surely I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So, I encourage you to claim these four promises in your life today and pray those promises in our lives, that we may be given God's protection, God's peace, God's provision, and God's presence as we go ahead. There is a big challenge before us. In spite of all the evangelism going on, still 28% of people in the world have never heard the gospel. As you are crying for the nations, still there are 28% of people who have never heard Jesus even once today. And nearly there are 62,000 people dying every day without hearing the name of Jesus. So we need to do something urgently. We need to do something. For example, these Bangladesh people, when they are walking, I imagine this way. They are walking, walking, walking to fall into the eternal destruction. So we need to do something to bring them out. Life is very short. And Gehazi was told, is this time to think for olive gardens and palaces and pleasures and all that? While people are dying and without hearing the name of Jesus, they are going to eternal destruction. Is this time? This is a big challenge. I read one quotation in Belk. Belk is there in the North Carolina. Life is too short to wear boring clothes. We saw that when Appa was interested to buy some clothes in Belk. When I saw that quotation, we just laughed. But when I went home, the Holy Spirit was talking to me. Vijay, life is too short. Life is too short for all of us. What all we want to accomplish for the glory of the Lord, we really need to do that. So I encourage you to dream big dreams. When the dreams come from God and for the sake of God and His kingdom, they will take place however long it may take. Joseph had a dream when he was 17 years old. When his dreams were fulfilled, he was 30 years old. The Bible tells the age. It took 13 long years for his dreams to be fulfilled. But they were fulfilled. So I'm dreaming big dreams today. I encourage you to dream big dreams today. Big dreams for God and for God's people. And in order to do that, Pastor Rick already has encouraged you, be a part with our work that God is giving us by your prayers, by your support. So these are the three account numbers. One number is there on our prayer card, those who want to support us on a monthly basis. And there are other account numbers like a gift number and the ministry number. Ministry number is to travel and some of the projects that we do. So any one of these projects, we would like you to participate. But pray every day for us. And if Lord prompts you, support us on a monthly basis. May God bless you and abide with you. We appreciate and thank you so much, Brother Rick, for this beautiful opportunity of sharing our heart, our dream. And thanks for the participation and partnership with you and with your church.
Today, Mountain Gap Church offers our community Sunday worship and Wednesday night teaching and discipleship classes. If you would like further information on times and location, you may find us online at mountaingap.org.